Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Brad Biggs joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Car ready for back to school? See your CarX man. Good morning, Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, a lot to dissect from game two of the preseason, the late kick out in Arizona, and loved your always love your 10 thoughts coming out of the game. Very in-depth analysis. And first of all, the obvious one in the post game, and David, we've been talking about it here for the first part of the show, is that the Bears are still selling that the first string offense in particular responded well, what they're looking for. And for those of us who are looking for more, we don't necessarily buy that line of thinking, but that's the company line.
Yeah, the idea that they made some progress and responded, I went back and looked at it, and I said, boy, if that's the response, I think they leave you wanting a little bit more. We do have to caution that, performances in preseason don't necessarily indicate how things are going to go in the regular season, but you look at how Mike Glennon has played, and I don't know that that's inspiring the fan base right now to believe that offensively they're going to be playing pretty good football at the beginning of the season. Bears fans are very aware of what mediocre quarterback play looks like, and they can diagnose that quickly. It's just it's a little bit of a head scratcher. I guess the one thing that we haven't stopped and put a lot of time into talking about and wondering is, and I'm not saying this is the case, but is it possible that Trubisky really isn't ready? Is that a possibility here?
Mm.
Nothing to do with the performance of Glennon, because I'm not saying Glennon is ready or Glennon's going to be very good, but is it possible that he's not ready?
Well, I think that's a good question, Brad. Last time we talked, we were in the car and you're racing through the Arizona desert late Saturday night and you were pondering what you just saw. I don't know that you looked at Trubisky as a guy that he didn't play great, but he didn't play in a way that made you wonder if he could handle the more responsibility. I mean, he hasn't shown that in game action. So it would have to be in practice. And John Fox talked about that. He said, we see him every day in practice. Do you think that there are signs then that there might be during the week that obviously we're not privy to that are indicating that?
Well, there's a lot of growth that has to take place. He's yet to throw the ball a lot or throw it very successfully from under center without a bootleg or rollout. Okay, with just a five-step drop, get the balls out. And, people say, well, they're using him to his strengths. That's right, and they are, and he's athletic, and he can move around a little, and so you should do that. But if every time the guy's under center, he doesn't hand off, he rolls out, defensive coordinators are going to put an end to that very, very quickly. So there's a lot of stuff he still needs to do. We saw him get sacked when he was under center with a straight drop back. Said he saw it and knew what was happening and just needed to get rid of the ball a little bit more quickly. And those are things that will come with time and with more experience.
Well, then ultimately, I think the question is, Brad, how do you accelerate that learning curve? I mean, do you live with the growing pains? And if he's not ready, is it
right,
more advisable to keep kid gloves on him? Or is it to throw him into the fire and then say, okay, here you go, son, learn. You're at the big boy level now, and you're going to take your lumps, but you have a lot invested in Mitch Trubisky. So, obviously they're going with the path of being conservative and spoon-feeding him.
Right, exactly. How do you get him ready? How do you bring out the best in him down the road? Is that for him to play right away and, as you said, kind of speed up that learning curve, or is that to have him sit for a while? And it's a shame Glennon hasn't played better, because if you were able to, and Bears followers know this, you can't take the interceptions away, but if you were able to take those interceptions away, have two shots down the field, you know, 25 yard gains or something, I think people would feel
it's a different discussion.
Yeah,
it's totally different.
Different discussion, but he hasn't looked real good. And, you know, the nice thing is I thought the offensive line played better against the Cardinals. That unit did not play well in the opener against the Broncos. The defense looked good again. Mm-hmm. And, Tariq Cohen was definitely electric against Arizona. 25-yard carry, and he busted off two gains of 16 yards.
All right, let's talk about that offensive line. You mentioned, and you bring to attention that Kyle Long didn't play, obviously. But rather than necessarily just make a one-game adjustment, you read into the moving Cody Whitehair from center to left guard and inserting Hronis Grassou at center as maybe an indication that you're not sure how Long might be out. What do you think is ahead this week for Kyle Long?
I don't know. Hopefully what's ahead this week for Kyle Long is he's back on the practice field. He visited the doctor last week. John Fox indicated that he got some type of treatment when he made that trip to the doctor. So he hasn't practiced since a week ago today when they had their final workout in Bourbonnais. A week ago today, the final workout in Bourbonnais. So he needs to get back out on the field, and hopefully they slowly bring him along. With that time missed and with what he's done so far this summer, I think it's probably a little bit unlikely that he suits up on Sunday when they play down in Nashville against the Titans. But he needs to take some steps towards that. And I wonder, if Long is out, you know, how long is he going to be out for? Well, when I see Cody Whitehair switching positions in a preseason game, that leads me to wonder, is this something that's going to last longer than a week or two? Is this a contingency plan if the guy can't come back? I'm not sure. You know, Fox has talked vaguely about offensive line positions, and they want the guys to be versatile. Okay, I get it. You want guys to be able to slide from one spot to another in case you have a need arise and feel comfortable, but that's also the position in football where, you know, you need repetition, you need to know the guy next to you, and you talk about trying to have the same starters in the same spot for all 16 games. So that's why when you start moving guys, it's a little curious to me. And you might be able to make a case right now that Cody Whitehair is their best offensive lineman, and you take your best offensive lineman and move him. I don't know if that doesn't open up a can of worms for you at the same time. I know this, it didn't work so well 2 years ago when they switched Kyle Long from guard to tackle.
Big Z, who were some of the guys who helped their cause to make the roster, and maybe some guys who are still on that bubble?
Well, I think you got, you know, a lot of guys on the bubble, but guys that help themselves, you know, Benny Cunningham, the running back's kind of shown up a little bit, and he's had opportunities to show up with Jeremy Lankford still sidelined, still missing time with that ankle injury. So that's something that is going to have to sort itself out sooner rather than later. I thought Cravon LeBlanc, the cornerback, you know, he had one penalty, I think, but he was around the ball a little bit and made some plays. Roy Robertson Harris, the defensive end, he's probably got a big uphill climb to try to make the roster, but he had two sacks late in that game for people that were able to stay up late. Lamar Houston, guys, did not play in the first preseason game. Had a real nice hit on the quarterback. He's a guy that should be around this season. I don't know that he's got to worry about his spot, but he's just feeling better and more comfortable and confident as he goes. Hopefully, also this week, Jordan Howard is back out there after a freak eye injury suffered
in a walkthrough
Friday before they went to the airport.
A dreaded walkthrough.
Oh, boy. All right, Big Z.
Thanks, Brad.
Are you an Eclipse guy or not?
Well, they moved the practice for you, so now you can take in the Eclipse.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I know you got your glasses yesterday.
All right, guys. Have
fun. All right, Brad. Thanks. You can tell by the tone of that answer where he stands on total eclipse. Yeah, yeah, wonderful. Okay,
yeah,
good. Let me know when it's over. 121 today, by the way, if you're
okay,
so inclined. Total eclipse
of
121 Chicago time. You got Molly and Haley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Today's science lesson brought to you by...
Buzz Aldrin is there to tell Ali G that, no, the sun, in fact, still hot.
See, today is about education, science education. I think that's what we should devote today to, because it's all over. You cannot escape.
No.
News, information, analysis, context about what's going to happen at 119 today.
And
is it 119? Did
121.
Right? 121.
Oh, 121. Yeah.
I'm sorry. 2 minutes. Well, I've been
and when David's out there on the street selling you those knockoff glasses, buyer beware. They have
selling
to have the proper
I'm looking
glasses.
To buy a couple.
Yeah.
A pair.
It is total eclipse today at 121.
Really, you know who's really interested in today, the total eclipse? Kyrie Irving. He's stopping what he's doing. Prove it to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and you know, again, a week or so ago, a lot of us weren't even aware or not paying attention, but now you really can't avoid it, right? I mean, everyone's talking about it. Bears have pushed practice back a little bit because they didn't want to practice in darkness and having guys inadvertently looking up and staring at that and ruining their vision.
And they did that after Jordan Howard was poked in the eye
exactly.
on Friday, reminding them, no more eye injuries this year.
Yeah. Is it like instantaneous? If you do look up there without protection on your eyes, your retinas burn out, or is it like 2 years from now? You're like, damn, I shouldn't have looked
your
at
eyes
that.
Start to bleed? I don't think it's immediate.
Yeah,
I don't know. Let's not find out. Although, aren't you going to? How many people are going to be tempted just to do that?
Oh yeah, and I just looked at. Yeah, you know, did you realize the next one's 2024? Like this one was 1979 was the last one. Next one's April 8th, 2024, so you can keep your glasses for 7 years. And
so how rare really is it?
I thought it'd be another 39, 40 years before you saw it again, but apparently not. Speaking of, how about the eye test of watching the Cubs over the weekend?
Man, you are the king of the segue.
Yeah, bad. We've been here before, right, and we talked to John Heyman, the sense of they're going to win the division. They have control of this thing finally. They're 2 games up on the Brewers, 3.5 up on the Cardinals, 6.5 up on the Pirates. We've had this feeling before where you're kind of like, all right, you can relax a little bit. Schedule is beautiful. You know, here come the, you know, you're going to Cincinnati to play some Reds that, you know, unfortunately you're frustrated if you're a Cubs fan that they only split the series last week. But is this really the starting pitching settled down? Jake Arrieta's very good. Kyle Hendricks very good.
Quintana was good.
Quintana was
good. That was key. Yeah. You needed that. You need more of that. But, Brian, I think the reason is because you've felt this before, and every time you felt this as a Cubs fan, it's why. It reminded you of what? Last year.
Right.
And it showed you that this team is capable of playing like that team last year. And what did that team last year do? They won it all. So you see the potential for a championship with this team still on weekends like the one you just experienced. So any given run, a series, a week, you think, okay, the Cubs can maintain this level and can produce the magic and can win games they're not supposed to win like yesterday. And that's what you have to do in the playoffs. So when you see that happening in front of you, it reminds you of what happened last year, and it makes you think, okay, like Joe Maddon said, what was that, Saturday or Friday? Bring on the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
Well,
I mean,
but you want your managers thinking that way. You want your team thinking that way. You want your fan base thinking that way. Bring on the Dodgers. The Cubs have a title to defend. And when they play as resourcefully as they did over the weekend, it's like, okay, maybe things aren't so bad. Maybe things are possible.
They are. They aren't as bad as they appear at times, but there are issues still. And you do have concern about the bullpen and, you know, the fact that you have to have two drop third strikes and a hit by pitch to sustain that 10th inning, but you got the job done. And it was, respecting 90. It was hustling Javi Baez, getting the first, and then, you know, a tremendous slide beating the throw at home.
Thank you. Hustling Javi Baez. Yeah. You know what? The guy who people looked at, you know, talk about when he watched his home run, and remember, didn't he, a couple weeks ago, about 10 days ago, he was out of the box late.
Yeah, yeah.
Lollygagging around, earned some criticism. Cap was criticizing him on Sports Talk Live. Look, this guy hustles when he needs to hustle. He hustled yesterday, and it helped you win a ball game. He knows instinctively the right thing to do. Runs the bases that way, in the field that way. Javi Baez, is anybody in baseball having a more exciting month? I mean, this is, and you look at what he's done at the plate. This is, I think Kevin said it, the 5-5, a breakthrough year offensively for Javi. Everything he's done has been, well, not everything. I mean, there are still moments, but he's been key.
And Cup fans, we asked the question 5-5, and if you want to weigh in, we'd appreciate the calls and the texts. Once Addison Russell is healthy, and assuming he comes back without restriction, what do you do? Does Javi Baez move over to second? Does Addison Russell reclaim a spot at short? Or do you want Javi Baez at short and you'll figure out second base along the way? And I think Dustin even went as far as saying Baez to third. And on certain games, you have Chris Bryant trying out the left.
Well, why not? I mean, last year, didn't Joe Maddon a couple times say, hey, you want to play Javi wherever you think your information tells you they're most likely to hit the ball? Because you want him being at second, if it's, you know, depending on the pitcher, depending on the lineup, depending on the matchup. But I think that the bottom line is that he is a guy that has to be in that lineup.
And one of the reasons he is so frustrating to Cub fans a lot of the times is because you see him do so many incredible things, but you expect him to do it all the time, and that's just not feasible.
Yes. Well,
especially for a guy who's 24.
And to be fair, in the first half of the season, even a few weeks ago, making the routine play had become a challenge, you know, every other day.
Concentration
lapses. But look, Chris Bryant's had, what, 2 or 3 errors in the last 4 games? I mean, it happens over the course of 162, but how, you know, what's your best defensive lineup? How do you do that once? And maybe the, you know, concerning part is that Addison Russell doesn't seem to be anywhere near to coming back, right? There's talk he was going to play over the weekend, and now I don't think anyone's even...
No timetable.
Yeah. All right, Z's here for you, 312-644-6767, if you want to join the conversation. That's great, Pat Hughes, right here on the Score, and the Cubs have the big comeback, bottom of the 10th, and they win that game, sweep that series against the Blue Jays, and one texter said the Cubs didn't beat the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays usually beat themselves, did so yesterday. That won't happen in the playoffs, so there are still Cub doubters out there, or Cub haters.
Probably.
Either way, but here's the thing.
That was a gift.
You had to come back with the big bomb of the 10th, with the two drop third strikes and the hit by pitch and miscues and misplays by defenders and pitchers, because Justin Wilson came in and did what he has been doing since he was obtained in trade from Detroit, and he set up the inning for the Blue Jays, and they end up scoring a couple of runs there. So here comes the comeback win for the Cubs. It, unfortunately, as the texter points out, the numbers for Justin Wilson, not very good. 3.17 whip with the Cubs. 9 hits, 9 walks, and 5 1/3. And it's been 3 weeks. Now, you know, again, Chris Bosio talked to us about it's a transition and they're human beings, everything else. You get maybe 1 or 2 appearances, maybe even a week. But supposedly when you come from the American to the National League, it benefits pitchers in particular. And that hasn't been the case. And you know, as you look forward, a texter says, you know, less bullpen, the better for the Cubs. That's usually the way it's been going for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It was an elite unit for most of the season, tops in the National League, second overall in baseball. In the last few weeks, they've lost that standing because you have not only Justin Wilson, Carl Edwards had his moments. And, you know, it's interesting, David, when Edwards was struggling for consecutive outings, 2 or 3 in a row, Joe said, well, of course I'm going to keep putting him out there. If he's available physically.
He earned his confidence.
Right, that's exactly. My question is with Justin Wilson, you know what the resume says. You know what the reputation is. You know that he was closing games for the Tigers. Now you know what he's been doing for you here pretty much every time out. What do you do with
him? It's human nature, though. You don't have that kind of equity built up because it hasn't happened in front of you. It hasn't been done in this context in a pennant race for the Cubs in front of Joe Maddon, in front of Bosio. You don't have that accrued like Carl Edwards Jr. does.
Right.
You've seen Carl Edwards perform in high-pressure situations, so you are more inclined to trust that he will return to being that guy. With Justin Wilson, all you know is a vision of what he was with the Tigers. And now with the Cubs, you can almost see as he pitches, the more he struggles, you can almost see his mind working. You can sense it. He's mechanical. He's thinking at the mound. You need to just be a thrower, not a thinker. And you can almost see how he's pressing. And you feel bad for him because he's clearly struggling, and it seems as if it's from the shoulders up. How do you get past that?
Well,
that's
look,
the challenge.
If you had a 6 or 7 game lead over the Brewers, then you have maybe the luxury of keep trotting him out there and hoping that one day it clicks and he works his way through this thing. You know, it feels more like more than a 2-game lead on the Brewers. It might feel like that to a lot of us after the weekend, but it is still just 2 games. Do you have the luxury to keep rolling him out there in game situations and then having, you know, the team have to pick up the pieces or clean up the mess?
I don't know that you can say that you're in a situation where you have that luxury. At the same time, if you look at this with a longer view, you think, okay, if you get him back on track, the asset he could be, if he pitches the way he did in Detroit for you in September and October, late September and mid-October, then he's a difference maker, potentially. So I don't know that you want to abandon hope. I don't think you, as bad as he has been, I think it would be a mistake to just give up and say this was a bad deal and we're going to have to wait until spring training to figure this out. I still think that you have to, with the bullpen, certainly given the state of your bullpen, you don't have that luxury.
Hey, remember when they made the deal, it was like everyone, okay, well, Wade Davis is gone after this year, so God bless him. He's been terrific, but he's not the future, so that's why you gave up the asset you gave up to get Justin Wilson, because you would have him filling in that role perhaps next year, or certainly maybe setting up a guy like Carl Edwards Jr. But, you know, the Cubs aren't the only ones. Obviously, the Washington Nationals bullpen has been an issue throughout the season. Yep. And, you know, you just mentioned that Aroldis Chapman.
How about that? He gets demoted in New York. The Yankees have given up on Aroldis Chapman. For
not to the minors, but,
not
you know.
No, he's just lost his job. David Robertson's closing. And I think that you look at that decision by Joe Girardi, you understand it. You can't help but can wonder and link the struggles of Aroldis Chapman in 2017 to the way he was used in 2016. It's inevitable. I'm not assigning blame or responsibility, but it certainly is cause effect.
Yeah, he's certainly been dealing with a shoulder issue, yeah. And he was the guy who volunteered that Joe Madden, quote unquote, abused him.
Abused
and guess
him.
What? When you're trying to win it all and there's no game eight, as Joe reminded everybody, you know, we certainly dissect it using
Thank
him as
God
much as he
no
did.
Game eight.
Yeah.
Taking years off your life.
And, you know, how much they used him in game six with a healthy lead and all that, but, you know, they got the job done. But, you know, it is going to be interesting because you were hoping that, you know, talk about confidence built up and equity built up that Carl Edwards Jr. had. I'm still not sure that, you know, Strope and Rondon had built up, you know, rebuilt that trust or confidence, and that's why.
But so they had done it before in the past.
Right.
They had. You have a track record.
Late last year.
You trust it.
Yeah. You know, they weren't going to.
They weren't. No, because Chapman was here, and Chapman was being everything you had hoped he would be for the Cubs. So the bullpen is going to be one of those things that is going to be continuously an issue down the stretch. The Justin Wilson thing is a conundrum. It's a mystery. Wanted to mention a couple things while we're on the Cubs. I got a chance to listen to the pregame show yesterday, driving home from the airport, coming back from Arizona. Tip of the cap to Mark Grody, who got Ian Happ to actually loosen up in the pregame show, talking about coffee. Because what else would you talk to Ian Happ about but coffee? Grody got him to admit he likes it. He prefers to drink it out of a porcelain glass rather than the styrofoam cup.
Or the carry out.
Deep probing issues brought up during this interview. But Ian Happ did have a chuckle about that. And also learned that the Cubs' new catcher, the backup they acquired from the Mets.
Rene Rivera
grew up in Puerto Rico watching the Cubs with his grandfather. And his grandfather was a Cubs fan who loved Harry Carey and Steve Stone. And to hear Rivera talk about how this was special to him because he's playing for the team that he grew up watching at 1 o'clock during the day in Puerto Rico. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned Ian Happ. I mean, the guy is, he's just so straight laced, and God bless him. A great, you know, really good talent.
Tightly wound.
Yeah. He just goes right, defaults to cliches unless it's about coffee, apparently.
Well, Grody got him to loosen up in a way that I haven't heard Ian happen, and I think, you, but you you forget, and maybe you take for granted as a Cubs fan, this was not a guy that you expected to be contributing in as big of a way as he has this season.
Yeah.
He's on the verge of 20 home runs. He'd be, the sixth Cub to surpass 20.
Didn't he match Kyle Schwarber, or is it the next home run for quickest home runs in 80 games for a Cubs record?
And who back in March and April, when you were looking at the 2017 season, thought the Cubs would be in a position where Ian Happ would mean this much to this team?
His name wasn't even part of the Cub fans' vocabulary before the season, but that speaks to what the first half of the season looked like too, right?
Exactly. And he's a guy that is intense. He's professional. He's versatile.
Can you live with him at second base in the postseason? I mean, if God forbid that Addison Russell can't come back or isn't 100% healthy. No one's suggesting that, but we were just saying, for conversation's sake, what do you do when Addison Russell does come back? Javi Baez stays short, or like I suggested, I try to be the strongest I can up the middle, so that means Addison Russell back at short and Javi Baez back to second, and then figure the rest out from there.
Is he the Ian Happ who's going to strike out four times and get inside his own head and not be able to get out, or is he going to be the guy that hits two home runs for you and goes the opposite way with that kind of power that is really valuable? He's 22 years old. You don't know.
Right.
But if you roll the dice, you might get the guy that's going to hit two home runs, and maybe one of them is going to come in the seventh inning to put you ahead for good. That's the beauty of what he's done. It's fun to watch a guy develop and to learn and kind of succeed by failing, because he looks like he's learning from his mistakes. He can frustrate you. And he's defensively maybe a little bit more limited than you'd want in a postseason.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, he tries, but he just doesn't look that fluid out there.
How about center field?
Well,
would you trust him more in center field?
But then again, you're talking about spoil for choice, but you're still trying to get Elmore Jr. more playing time. John Jay obviously has come up big and, one of Joe's favorites. I don't know how you try to rotate three through there.
Wouldn't shock me if they're struggling offensively in the playoffs that you see a Schwarber, Happ, Hayward outfield with
oh my gosh, really?
Well,
man, you better have a lot of offense.
Well, I mean
Happ and Schwarber, two-thirds of your defense out there.
It depends how much you're struggling. I mean, I don't like the idea. I like John Jay as a guy in the postseason who's going to come probably emerge as a guy who's really more valuable than people maybe expected to be. I just, different scenarios. You can see Happ being in the outfield more than he's at second base because he's less of a liability defensively.
Right. And again, if Russell comes back, I assume he's going right back out to short. And things do change. Perception changes. And
how does Contreras fit in? Contreras comes back. What if you have him in the mix in the outfield if he's not catching, on a given day? You have a nice problem to have if you're Joe Maddon.
312-644-6767 is the number. If you'd like to join the conversation, you got Molly and Hanley with David Haas sitting in on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.